the Six Shooter, starring James Stewart as Britt Ponsett.
Well, we rode on through most of the night, Wilbur, English, and me. Along about 11 o'clock, we stopped to rest, but Wilbur was so doggone nervous and skittery, I just couldn't get any sleep, so we started off again. Must have been about noon when we finally hit Single Pine. The main street wasn't very crowded, a couple of wagons, two or three ladies in the mercantile, and old Judge Hendricks sunning himself in front of the livery stable. Everything seemed pretty normal, just about what you'd expect on a Tuesday. That didn't keep Wilbur from looking back over his shoulder every once in a while, like he thought somebody was getting ready to put a bullet in the nape of his neck. You know. We headed over to the hitching rail in front of Sheriff Preston's office and pulled up. Wooshka. Wooshka.
Come on over.
Well, here we are.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Ponsett.
Now, enough to thank me for. I didn't do anything.
Well, you never know what might have happened if you had...
What's the matter, Andy?
That fellow standing there... The shade bus beside that store.
What about him?
Well, I can't make him out. Not real clear, but... He does sort of look like Russ.
It does, huh? He looks a whole lot more like Ben Fletcher. That happens to be his hardware store he's leaning up against, too.
Oh.
Now, come on. Let's get inside. Look at it. Yeah. Sounds like he's asleep, doesn't it?
That's a fine way for a sheriff to be acting. Suppose that had been Russ Winters out there just now.
Well, it wasn't. And this isn't Sheriff Preston either.
What?
No, it's Phil Waterman. Hey, Phil. Hey, come on. Come on, wake up, Phil.
Britt. What are you doing around here?
Well, a man has to come in town every once in a while. Looks like you're taking pretty easy, Phil.
The baby's got the colic. Didn't get a wink of sleep all night long.
Is that so? Well, yeah. I hope it's nothing serious.
No. Doc says he'll be all right in a couple of days.
Oh, fine. Glad to hear. Is Mike around?
Yeah, you just missed him, Britt.
Oh?
He left about an hour ago. I'm holding down before Fordley comes back.
You mean the sheriff's already gone to Cheyenne? You heard me? He's gone?
No, he had to take some men over toward Red Rock. He's putting off his trip to Cheyenne for a day or so.
He's putting it off, is he?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Well, what am I supposed to do? Just sit around and wait for him? The sheriff off gallivanting somewhere? Who's going to protect me?
Just what is it you need protecting from, mister?
This is Wilbur English, Phil.
Oh.
Well, the sheriff promised that he'd see that I got to Cheyenne. He promised he'd take me with him.
Well, he can't take you till he goes himself. But he left word he was expecting you. Said I was to tell you to sit tight and not leave town.
I might have known that he'd pull a stunt like this.
Oh, wait a minute. What are you talking about?
You're a fancy sheriff. That's what I'm talking about. I told you they all want Russ to kill me. They all think I got it coming. Well, why do you think that Sheriff Preston picked today to leave town so that he'll be out of the way if Russ shows up, so he won't have to do nothing towards stopping him? That's what?
Now, you listen here. If Mike Preston said he'll take you to Cheyenne, he'll take you there. He ain't never gone back on his word yet. Not even with a murdering outlaw. I forgot you ain't an outlaw anymore. You're just a public-spirited citizen. All right, Mr. Public-spirited citizen. You get yourself over to that hotel across the street and you stay there. When Mike comes back, I'll tell him where you are. Well, what are you waiting for? How in thunder did you happen to come into town with him?
Oh, we met up accidentally last night. He seemed kind of anxious for company.
Funny, ain't it? The way you feel about a man like that. Well, getting rid of Floyd Winters was a blessing. Ain't no doubt about it. And I guess we all owe English something for killing him. If he hadn't done it when he did, nobody knows how many other men would have been shot.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but somehow, well, in spite of all that, it's pretty hard to like English very much, ain't it?
Yeah, it seems like it's darn near impossible, doesn't it, Phil? Well, I had something to eat over at Molly Davis's cafe, and then I did my errands. Got myself a new pair of boots and a haircut.
I almost fell asleep sitting in that barber's chair. I guess that was to be expected, seeing as how I didn't get much rest the night before. And the idea of taking a little siesta sort of crossed my mind. Not that I usually nap in the daylight, you understand, but I went over to the hotel and rented myself a room. And I was planning to stay in town overnight anyhow, so I figured I might as well get my money's worth out of the bed I was paying for. After all, it's cost me 50 cents. Must have been about 4:15 when I heard somebody pounding at the door. Yeah, who is it?
It's me, Wilbur.
Oh, all right. Come on in.
He's here. He's in Single Pine.
What are you talking about?
Didn't you hear what I said? Russ Winters is here in Single Pine right now. He's here this afternoon.
No, take it easy, English.
You got to help me get away, Ponson. You got to.
You imagine you saw him a couple of times before. Do you remember that?
Maybe I did, but this ain't my imagination.
Hmm?
Go on. Go on, read it.
What's this? You don't have much longer to wait, Russ.
Well?
Well, where'd it come from?
He shoved it under the door to my room.
Did you see him?
I didn't have to see him.
Well, I'd say if Russ Winters was in town and knew where you were staying, he wouldn't waste any time sending you notes.
It's just what he'd do, Ponson. He liked to torture me. He'd like nothing better.
Mm-hmm. Maybe so. Sheriff back in?
I don't know, and I'm not waiting around to find out.
Oh?
There's a train for Cheyenne at 4:30. I'm taking it.
Mm-hmm. I thought Sheriff Preston said you were to sit tight.
Oh, sure. Sit tight and be murdered. You seen that message? Seen it with your own eyes. You don't expect me to stick around here after that, do you?
Yeah, if I was in your place.
But you're not in my place, Ponson.
That's so. I'm not.
But you got to do something for me.
Oh?
Just see me to the station and make sure I get aboard that train, all right? It ain't much to ask, is it?
Well, it depends on whether Russ Winter's really in town or not.
But I tell you, he won't shoot if somebody's watching. He won't take a chance until he's sure killed me.
I still think you're making a mistake. I think you ought to stick around until the sheriff comes back.
Oh, I don't care what you think.
Okay, English, go ahead. I'll keep an eye on you.
Well, come on.
What for? The depot's right across the street. I've got a front window here. I won't have any trouble watching you from here. Go on. Well, the train pulled in right on time, 4:30. I saw Wilbur English climb aboard. As far as I could tell, he was the only passenger getting on Single Pine. I looked up and down the street. Nobody seemed to be paying any attention to him one way or the other. Well, I figured that'd be about the last we'd see of him. As soon as he collected his reward money, he'd probably head east. Back there, he could stay out of Russ Winter's way. And Russ would probably he'd be captured sooner or later. Just a question of time. The only thing that puzzled me was that note English had found. I thought maybe I ought to tell Phil Waterman about it, so I walked over to the sheriff's office.
Might have known it. So that's what they were up to, those little devils.
Was that?
The McPherson kids. I went over to the hotel to see if English got a room all right. He was sort of my responsibility as long as Mike was out of town.
Yeah, sure.
Just as I got to the top of the stairs, I saw Sandy McPherson's two boys standing outside English's room.
Mm-hmm.
They ran off just as soon as I spotted them, so I figured they'd been doing something they shouldn't.
Oh. Well, you think it was a couple of kids put that note under the door?
Well, must have been.
Oh, me darn.
Yeah, they probably heard he was in town, maybe even recognized him going into the hotel.
Yeah.
I guess they thought they'd give him a little scare. You know, English isn't very popular, even with the kids, Brick.
Uh-huh, yeah, I know that.
They made up a song about him and how he killed Floyd Winters.
Is that so?
Sure. First thing you know, folks will be forgetting that Winters was an outlaw and a murderer. They'll just remember that he was shot in the back by one of his own men. And they'll say that that was wrong. And they'll feel sorry for him. And we'll have Wilbur English to thank for that, too. Yeah, maybe that's why I ain't so sure he done us any favors. No matter how you look at it.
Say, isn't that Mike pulling up over there?
Hmm? Yeah. Hey, he must have been doing some fast traveling. Look at the foam on that Pinto's flanks. Wonder how he made it.
Oh, hello, Mike.
Howdy, Britt. What are you doing here?
I was passing the time of day.
Everything all right, Sheriff?
Yeah, it's pretty good, Phil. Pretty good. I thought we were going to get Russ Winters this afternoon, but he slipped through our fingers again.
You mean Russ was really in the neighborhood here?
Well, not exactly, Britt. Not exactly. Closest he got was about 15 miles east. I heard he was heading our way, though, so I took some of the boys out to see if we couldn't bring him in. We picked up his trail, too, and we were gaining on him, but he hightailed it into Red Rock and grabbed the train just as it was about to pull him out. Depot agent remembered him, description and all. I telegraphed ahead. They'll be waiting for him in Cheyenne when he gets there.
He took the Cheyenne train?
Union Pacific Express. You know, Britt. One leaves here at 4:30.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Well, they arrested Russ Winters in Cheyenne, all right. Didn't even try to get away. But Wilbur English, Wilbur never got there. The passenger said it happened just after Russ got aboard at Red Rock. Wilbur took one look at him and started running through the cars, and when he got to the back platform, well, he just didn't stop. And he fell 75, 80 feet right straight down the side of a ravine. He didn't have a chance. The funny thing was that the folks who saw it, they said that Russ Winters hadn't made a move toward him. Not a move.
If a neighbor in distress came to your door, would you help him? Of course you would. But not everyone who needs help can come to you personally. It may be a flood victim in Ohio, the victim of an earthquake in California, of a hurricane in Texas. Or it might be your boy, or your neighbor's boy in Korea, needing an emergency furlough to come home. Disaster can strike in many places and for as many reasons. And when it does strike, even though you might not be there to help in person, you can help through your Red Cross. That's why the Red Cross volunteer calls on you. He calls in the name of the helpless and injured, of the little girl who needs blood to save her life, of the serviceman who must fly to the bedside of his dangerously ill parent or child. When you join the Red Cross, you help them all, wherever they may be, just as surely as if you had extended a helping hand in person. So when the Red Cross volunteer comes to your door, meet him with a smile and answer the call. Join and serve, and wear your Red Cross button proudly. It means that in any emergency, in any disaster, you are there serving humanity. The Six Shooter is a transcribed NBC Radio Network production in association with Review Productions. It is based on a character created by Frank Burt and is written by him. Mr. Stewart may currently be seen in the Universal International picture, The Glenn Miller Story. Others in the cast were Frank Gerstle as Floyd Winters, Herb Vigran as Phil Waterman, Barney Phillips as Mike Preston, and Paul Richards as Wilbur English. Special music for this program was by Basil Adlam, and the entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents were fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. By the way, you'll be interested in knowing, The Six Shooter has been chosen for broadcast to our men overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Services. This is John Wall speaking. Listen to Jan Murray in Sunday at Home on the NBC Radio Network.